Hello, everyone, and welcome to From Tip to Tail, a podcast dedicated to animal welfare. This podcast is sponsored by Cuddly. Cuddly is the only crowdfunding platform built specifically for animal welfare organizations worldwide. I'm Bridget.
And I'm Sydney. We've spent years working with animal rescues and have seen such amazing innovation, strength, and heart.
Having this personal connection with rescuers has made us more informed, grateful, and inspired. We hope by giving you an inside look, you will be too.
Today, we're going to be sitting down with Elizabeth and Tim McVicker, presidents of Shadow Husky Rescue, an organization with a mission to rescue huskies that are displaced, unwanted, abused, lost, abandoned, and or scheduled for euthanasia, and provide them with a second chance at life by finding them a permanent home. We were so honored to have these two on to talk about their experiences, their knowledge about the breed, and how their passion for huskies not only brought them together, but paved the way for their rescue to begin. If you like this episode, be sure to click that subscribe button to listen in on similar stories. Other than that, let's get started.
Hello, how are you both?
Hi, great.
Terrific.
Got Tim here and Liz right to my left.
We're so excited to have both of you on. I think there are so many stories of love and rescue, but we just don't hear them often. Before we really get into the story of the rescue itself, how did you two meet?
We met at the Irvine Dog Park in 2008.
I had a couple huskies and Liz had three at the time. And so when you're in the park, the huskies always go to each other and they want to play. So they're pack animals, which worked out great because that's how I met Liz that day. Our dogs kind of all went together and were playing and having a good time. And so we started talking and it kind of went from there.
And I gave him my card when we left the park.
Yeah, she gave me her business card and I called her probably a couple of days later. And we hooked up with our dogs. And I think didn't we have a meeting with our dogs at the dog park? I know I had a motorcycle at the time. I think I said I'd go pick her up on my motorcycle and went for a little ride. We hooked up with our huskies again, and it just kind of took off from there. We really got along well.
We didn't see each other for 5 years. And then when we saw each other again, it was kind of like we knew we had to be together. So I moved from Los Angeles to Riverside County and sold my house and packed up. And then we were married later that year. We united our family.
Yep. And we had a big husky wedding. Tell about that. In Orange County, when we got married, we had, what did we have? It was 7 or 8 huskies at the time?
Yes.
Our group kind of grew.
At the Lutheran Church of the Cross.
Yeah, in El Toro. It was a beautiful wedding. We had a lot of people there. People couldn't believe it. They just said it was a magical day. All our huskies were up front with us. We had our little ring bear, Sylvia. I think she was 3 months old at the time, bring our rings up. It is on the internet, on the register. On the OC register, so you can actually look it up and see the whole wedding.
Oh, cool. I have to ask, when your huskies were sitting up there with you guys, were they good about just sitting or were they a little rowdy during the whole reception?
We actually, all my guy friends are up there with me, my best man, and we had them put treats in their pockets. So my brothers were up there, and so everybody had treats. It was kind of cute. You know, they're all really still looking, and people couldn't believe it. A lot of it was because we just gave them treats, but then they just settled right down, and a few of them were sleeping through the whole thing. The church had a whole area there fenced off for our friends, and they all brought their huskies, so it was a beautiful time.
Oh, my gosh. It's like a dream wedding.
It was.
That sounds so magical. And as clearly you have this passion then for huskies. So how did the rescue get started?
Well, after we moved our families in together, we started growing our family and people started looking to us to surrender their huskies or whatnot, or a friend of a friend of a friend would contact us. And we ended up accumulating, about 10 huskies. Mm-hmm. And we would go to the dog parks and some people would look at us and say, what are you doing here with all those huskies? So we would ask our friends to show up at the dog park and escort. So we would have
three dogs per each person, because that's the legal way of doing it at a dog park.
And then after a while, we just started saying, well, don't you know we're a rescue? We're going to form a rescue. And immediately we gained respect in the community. And one of our, I think our first real rescue dog was Elsa. You want to talk about Elsa?
Yeah, Elsa was found in a dumpster in Paramount. She was skin and bones. She was a breed dog, and the people just disposed of her in the trash can there. And the small dog rescue, I can't remember what the rescue was, but anyway, they notified us because they're a small dog rescue, so they couldn't have a bigger dog. So Elsa was a little too big for them. So they end up, we went and got him. I think it was 4 hours after I saw pictures of her. It was just horrific. She's actually on our business card, before and after pictures, but yeah, that it was horrible, that one.
She had just given birth.
Completely shaved and just horrible. I don't know how she lived through it.
Well, and in your guys' experience, when you are seeing the cases that you do see and you're getting, you know, whether it's a surrender or you're saving from the shelter, what would you say is like the number one reason as to why that husky is where it is or why somebody's giving it up?
Boy, there's so many reasons why people dump huskies. I do a lot of surrender dogs. I get 15 to 20 calls a day. So we've been working on a lot of surrenders. And it's from, you know, downsizing, going into apartments. They're moving. They can't have the dog anymore.
Divorce.
Divorce is another big one. So that's probably the main reason these dogs end up in the shelters. What we try to do is get them before they get in there. We do pull a lot of the medical dog, rescue-only dogs out of the shelters. But right now we have just been doing a lot of surrenders, right? A few medical dogs.
Huskies are so beautiful. And so I think there are so many people who enter into that just for like the visual appeal and like they look so happy. So I can only understand it's a real tiny blip of what you probably see all the time, whether it comes to like downsizing and different things. Those are animals that, yes, they have energy. They have certain requirements that will make them fulfilled or kind of make them frustrated, let's say.
Definitely the first 2 years, they're very energetic and have a lot of behavioral issues that have to be corrected. I would say there are a lot of dogs at the shelter, a lot of huskies at the shelter that are on average about 2 years old. And that's about the time when the owners either take them to the shelter or try to surrender them to us. And we are open to receiving them if we have room and we're able to assist them. We don't turn them away. We don't shame them. And on social media, we often see criticism, and we don't do that. People have whatever reasons, whether it's responsible or irresponsible, that's not relevant. What's relevant is the dog.
When you're talking about a certain type of breed of dog that's being bred, and then you hear the number of owner surrenders that you're getting calls about every day, I mean, that feels like so much. When you're adopting out then, obviously there are certain exceptions with some of these dogs with big energy and different maybe medical issues. I'm wondering what your adoption process looks like, because I know we hear all the time, and I'm sure you hear people's frustration with adoption processes, and they're used to just walking into a store and getting a dog. But I know you might have a little bit more to it than that.
Yeah, we developed a program after almost 8 years doing this that is called the Foster to Adopter program. And it works great. The dogs get to go into the home for about a week. And if everything works, then we can adopt them out. But we want to make sure everybody's a good fit. And it's worked out so good. We can do this basically more with the owner surrenders. It's harder with shelter dogs, because the owners can hang on to them and they can always be returned back to the owner. And we can keep trying other homes. But what you need with a husky is somebody being home. If someone's always there, you get the battles won. It's when they're left alone, they're real human orientated. So they're going to try to find you. And that's why they're labeled escape artists. But yeah, the program is great. And, you know, we're a charity, so it's non-refundable once they pay the adoption fee. So this way we avoid all that. You know, if it doesn't work out, then we can go to another home. But the foster adopter program has been wonderful. Everybody loves it. We do home checks, videos of the fence, the gates. We have questionnaires that go out. And so I can, just from the questionnaire alone, I know if it's going to work or not, because we know each dog's personality and the way the dog is. And the way the people are. So we put it all together and I've gotten pretty good at it. I sit there all day long working on these dogs, and it's amazing that some of these homes have just really worked out great for these guys. So we've been real well with the program.
Well, and what you were talking about earlier, I'm curious, because you were mentioning that a lot of people, when they're surrendering your dogs, downsizing is a reason for it. What's your guys', just in your experience, take on adopting out huskies into homes that are rather small, maybe don't have a backyard, or kind of what's your take on people having large breeds in apartment sort of sized homes?
Like I said, again, if the family's home, somebody's always home, it will work. And they go on a lot of walks. They've got maybe dog parks next to them. It works out great. I lived in a fifth wheel with my first dog, Shadow, up in Ortega's, you know, for 7 years with him. And when I took him to work with me every day, he was always with me. But yeah, that's a big thing. The apartments can work, condos. We'd rather have the yard, but depending on the family and how they talk to me on that questionnaire, I know more about them and if they're going to be a good fit. As long as they get the dogs out and get playtime and socialize them, they'll be happy. So you can't put people down with apartments and condos. I know it's kind of risky, but if they're on board and they're husky savvy at all, then it can work.
They need to be able to want to make sure that the husky's going to get exercise, be properly fed, good nutrition, and a lot of
hands-on. Yeah. I'm really big on loving up huskies, always touching them, petting them. They love that. That's a bond.
And fully accepting them into their family.
Yeah.
Not treating them like a dog.
Less about the size of the home and more about the will of the owner or what effort that owner is going to put in.
Yeah, and one of our questions on our questionnaire, do you let your dog sleep with you in their bed? And that's important to us. Our dogs, we let them sleep on our bed, and that's how they really get close to you. Even if they sleep down below your bed, but as long as they're with you, that's the main thing. In the room with you, that's big. That's really big for huskies. They need to be with their humans.
Shadow. Is that who the rescue is named for?
Yeah, Shadow. I went through a really bad divorce and I was lonely. I had my fifth wheel. I was up in the Ortegas. I gave my wife the house, basically. She took that and my son. And I went out. She never wanted me to have a big dog. So first thing I did the first month of my divorce, I went to the Orange County shelter and I found, I get a little emotional over this one. But I met Shadow, who was about 10 years old at the time. And he had no time left. He was a timber wolf Siberian. Beautiful dog. And he was about 10 years old and he had one day left. I couldn't believe it. You know, how are they going to kill this guy? This beautiful husky Shadow is gorgeous. And I just couldn't believe it. So I took him with me. And like I said, I was in the trucking business. So I took him in my big rig every day. We went everywhere together, spent a lot of time. And he was just totally therapy for me. And so I ended up taking him to therapy classes and they taught me how to make him a therapy dog. So I ended up going to resting homes and that's kind of how I healed over the breakup and stuff. So Shadow and I stuck together and it was a beautiful time. So I had 7 years with him. That would have put him around 17 if he was 10 in the shelter. And he died of a heart ailment that we were down on the beach. He was puppy pouncing and his heart kind of just gave out. He had water in the heart. And I rushed him down and tried to save him, but I couldn't. But he really changed my life. This is pretty much why we do what we do right now. This is it. Because of Shadow. So he was really something.
Oh, that's so heartbreaking. But also, it just shows the power of what a dog can do. Elizabeth, how stoked are you? Not only did he get this like support dog and someone who was like helping him heal so that he could be ready for another relationship, but ultimately ended up leading you to Tim. That's incredible.
Yeah, he certainly was a very special boy. And I truly met my match in Tim. I always was a big husky lover. I had also been married and I was divorced for 9 years with my huskies, and kind of hard to date someone when you have three huskies. They can't go along. Or I got asked to bring one only, and I would always flatly say no. Tim actually, I think, loves these Huskies more than I do. His passion is so strong and it's wonderful. We actually live and breathe Huskies. Tim is retired, so he devotes 100% of his time toward the care of our personal Huskies and our rescue. And I kind of juggle my job with our home life and rescue.
Wow. It just sounds like a fantasy for people in rescue. I know there are so many people who are just like, they just want their person to understand their passion. But to be so passionate, both of you in the same thing, that's so remarkable. And I feel like it's so rare to find in your person.
We try to bring that same passion to the dogs, especially if they have medical issues or whatnot. And we will make sure that either the issues get resolved or that we've done as much as possible for them.
Yeah. Each dog that I pull, these surrenders, I feel like they're part of our family. And so I give them the same attention. I just feel the same about them. It's amazing. You know, it was funny because I went through like three relationships and they were all because I spent too much time with Shadow, going out with him in different places. So until I met Liz, it was like, she goes, oh, yeah, it's great. You know, so it was really important to meet a mate that's still on the level that you're on, you know, with animals like I was. It just, we hit it off. So it worked. It's hard to work with another relationship if, you know, the girlfriend isn't totally on board, you know, with your dogs, and it's very hard. So it's important to have the same everything in common when it comes to dogs.
Definitely on the same page.
Yeah.
I just wanted to follow up with Tim's surrender story. We had a surrender dog in March. Actually, it was surrendered to us, I think, at the end of February. And she is a woolly husky. Her name is Maya. And it turned out that she was epileptic and she also was bleeding. She had a vaginal discharge and she had, I guess, urinated on the prior owner's carpet, $18,000 carpet. So they decided to put her outdoors where she stayed for 2 years. So the daughter of this family reached out to Tim and we found a wonderful foster for her, but the foster noticed one day that she was having seizures and they were cluster seizures.
And she was bleeding from her urethra.
She had been there for 3 weeks and she had not stopped bleeding. And anyway, we sent her to the emergency vet where she stayed for a week. And our bill was actually at a neurological emergency vet. So they were able to help her with the UTI and her neurological issues. She had the MRI and the spinal tap. And we figure she had the bleeding for a couple of years because the daughter of the prior owner had said she had noticed it for that long. And she was in a lot of pain, abdominal pain. And so anyway, we have taken care of her and she seems to be doing great now, but she will be having neurological care for the rest of her life. And
it's been very expensive.
Over $15,000. And we've done fundraisers. And the good thing is our supporters believe in us and they help us in times of need.
And we're real transparent with all our dogs. We let everybody know what's going on with them, even after they're adopted. There's times like maybe 2 or 3 years later, we do updates on them. So we're always transparent on these guys. And everybody wants to hear the good stories, you know, it makes everybody feel good. And so do we, you know, we're blessed when we see the success of these Huskies enjoying themselves in these homes that would have been dead. Because they're all pretty much death row Huskies that I do pull out of the shelters, so they don't have much time left.
Maya had encephalitis also. That's what she had in the brain. It was like a swelling of the brain. That's in one example. Another example is of a surrender.
About Mally. Mally was our $30,000
right.
dog.
Yeah. Where did you pull him from? Carson?
No, Siaka.
Siaka.
Yeah. He was poisoned. He had everything wrong with him. His kneecaps weren't matched up. We didn't know any of this when they pulled him other than he was poisoned. So we were able to save his life. He swallowed a bunch. He was on a stray for a while and he ate a lot of bad things. And they found wire. They found all
corn
kinds
cob.
Of corn cob. They found all this stuff in his intestines. And he got into probably some kind of chemical, I would think. But we ended up taking him and then he had a lot of other issues. But we stayed with him. We won't give up on him.
He ended up having liver shunt surgery at UC Davis.
Jeez. Yeah, I took him up there a couple of times to the doctor all the way up to San Francisco.
And we ended up doing like, a, I think, an all-day event fundraiser for him outdoors in a baseball park.
Lake Elsinore.
And we invited other vendors and we had a silent auction that went on for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. That was one of our biggest fundraisers we ever did. We had bands come in, that people that were fosters for us that were in a band, Lisa Cogan's band.
It really shows that you really do consider all the rescues that you take in part of your family, part of your pack. I think it really is so amazing, especially when they've come from places that, whether it was just neglect, lack of knowledge or whatever, has led to them being not cared for as well as they should. I think it's so amazing that you're kind of stepping up and saying, I'm going to give you the best care possible. You obviously were so passionate about Huskies when you first got into rescue. I'm wondering, did you feel like super confident that you had the knowledge you needed to get into this line of work to help those medical cases? Or has that been something that you've acquired over the years?
We started our rescue in 2015, and I started having Huskies in 2004. And Tim, I think, was about the same time, 2005 was your divorce. So we had a lot of experience, and we had been prior dog owners, and we have always gone to board-certified surgeons and the best top medical doctors, physicians, vets. And we've kind of navigated our way through that with whatever issue has come up, we've addressed. At first, we were spending a lot of money out of pocket. In addition to the rescue that we formed in 2015, we were trying to acquire a kennel license at our private home. And we had opposition from our neighbors because we live in horse country. And the stigma of Huskies being escape artists was kind of spread through the community where we live. So we had kind of like a double challenge, and we were going to meet this challenge head on. So we were basically battling the kennel license, which we ended up getting and acquiring.
That went on for about 5 years. Yeah. And it just drained us financially.
And we also were dealing with rescue. I think Tim pulled from LA Rescue Partners, oh, so many dogs, all the waiver dogs. I think he pulled about 400 waiver dogs during that period of time, and it was just a constant.
LA Partners.
Yeah, pulling dogs and finding homes. And I think we had a lot of luck on our side. We had some wonderful adopters and fosters. We've lost some fosters, but we're always looking for fosters. That's really the key. Let me go back to our kennel license. Our kennel license is for our home. It's our private dogs, our personal dogs. So we are not facility-based yet, but we have acquired property in North San Diego County, which is 5 acres flat. And eventually one day we do hope to establish a full operation there.
Wow, that's amazing. Multi-purpose, yeah, like organization. The two of you seem like you're really doubling down on all your work there. That's incredible.
Yeah, and this is not your normal kennel up here. We live with our Huskies. There's no cages here. We were all together. So it's amazing. They live with us. We live with them. You know, we don't have all nice furniture here. We cater to our animals, you know, but we don't really care. We aren't materialistic at all. Yeah. It's an amazing fight we had to go through to be able to have our own personal dogs. It was a pretty scary time. We were pretty stressed out.
Yeah. It's kind of shocking too, because I think a lot of people go through that struggle when they have a large dog in a small little apartment or something, right? But it's kind of bizarre that in a home, even like, I'm assuming horse country, I mean, you probably have some space there, right?
Oh, yeah. We have about 7 acres all fenced here. We spent a fortune on fencing. Goes up around 6.5 feet. We've had no escape dogs. They're totally secure. They don't want to go anywhere. They got enough property here to run all day long. And so they love it. And they just totally, they're totally happy here. So there's been no issues at all.
We have two side-by-side California king beds.
Yeah. 8 dogs that sleep with us. First come, first serve with our beds. No headboards. They're just 2 big, huge California kings together.
Yeah, you don't even need blankets then. They just, you've got 8 dogs on top of you.
It's hot. It really does. It starts really heating up with all the Huskies together. It's amazing. We never turn the heat on here. I don't care if it gets 20 degrees, which it has many times. We don't turn the heat on.
Well, the counter to that is we use a lot of air conditioner in the summer.
Yeah, air conditioner is real expensive.
So we try to balance that bill out in the winter months.
Yeah.
By saving on the heater.
Oh, my goodness.
Got to keep them cool in the summer. You know, a lot of little swimming pools around. I got water everywhere. I have 5-gallon buckets all over the property so they can drink. I clean them out every day. So they have fresh water wherever they go and they're playing. They can just stop and get a drink and carry on, you know. My social media, they'll go by Master Wolf, so you can kind of see why. You know, we're pretty crazy husky people here.
Every morning is their main meal, which we cook overnight with rice, usually
brown rice.
Brown rice, usually chicken, and then we add vegetables. Tim usually brings leftovers to his rescue missions.
Yeah.
And if he's pulling from a shelter or pulling up, getting a surrender dog and transporting it to a new foster. Years prior, he actually coined the word freedom burger, which was anytime a dog was pulled from a shelter, he would have it like 3 or 4 patties from Carl's Jr. or Burger King waiting for the dog to enjoy. He actually started the whole freedom burger trend. But nowadays he brings usually leftover goulash that we have from home.
Yeah. I videotape everything. If you go onto my Facebook, you'll see all of the rescues that I've done. They're all on there and you'll see the videos of me pulling the dogs out of the shelter and giving them their freedom burger and talking about them, you know, where they're going, we'll foster. And we're very transparent. These dogs, people can follow them and we give them updates. I get to the home. We show, you know, the great homes they're going into and the updates, and people love that. That's part of the blessing for me, is to see them so happy coming out of a shelter like that. Been in there 3 months or longer, some of them, you know, and pretty much given up. One example, we had Frosty and Yeti out of cars, and these were the most scariest huskies that I've ever handled.
Was it in April?
Maybe April. But we found a lady up in Fort Bragg. Christina Martin asked me if I could pull them. She would take them, you know. Scared huskies are very scared for me to pull, because they're the ones that will slip a leash. You got to know what you're doing, handling them, you know. So when I rescued them, I couldn't believe it. It was just really hard to get them into my truck. I had transport all set up going to Fort Bragg. I was just going to do one leg to Fresno and have some other people come and take them up further. But I didn't trust anybody with these two. And I'm glad I didn't. I end up driving right through and into the night all the way up there myself just to keep them safe. And to get them out of my car, I had to pull up about 20 feet from their gate, and I had to get them out of my car safely. And I had to double leash them to even get them out. And then I was able to get one at a time into the backyard. And that's how scared they were. They were not budging, you know, they just had the brakes on. And boy, that was scary. So I'm just glad that I did use transport on that when I just did it myself and got them up there. But boy, they're in a great home up there. We got some great feedback. And
yeah, and Christina, basically carry on where we left off. And
yeah, she
went on and social media and posted daily videos of them, and all the fans were watching, and then she adopted them.
Yeah, they're doing great. They're so happy. She had 3 other huskies, so she's got 5 huskies, and they all play great together up there. They're just like night and day now.
So amazing. I love the work that you do. It's so important. And I think when people see like a breed specific rescue, they have maybe thoughts about that. But I think it's clear, like, there are some breeds that just need that extra support. So we do have some kind of fun questions. First one here is, with that many dogs in your home, who is the pack leader?
Master Wolf.
It's you?
I know these guys so well. And I look at them right in the eye. Huskies, you look in the eye and you talk to them. They understand everything you're saying to them. It's amazing. It's an amazing breed. But the best thing, what you got to do is stare them right in the eye when you talk to them. And they get it. You know, we've got a couple alphas up here that we've had to separate in a couple groups. And they all know their position. They're well-behaved. Every once in a while, you get one because somebody took someone else's bone or something, but they don't really hurt each other. So it's been really, we've been really fortunate, but I'm on them constantly and I'm retired into these guys. So I'm with them every day and they know, even when I look at them, you know, they know that they better behave themselves because, you know, I'm really firm, but I love them to death.
We don't leave them home alone. No,
never, ever. You can't, even our kennel license, it says you can't leave your dogs alone. So.
You've earned your name.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm pretty well known, I think, on Facebook, right? Social media. So Master Wolf's kind of been out there a while.
Well, so in that same vein then, what is the naughtiest thing you've ever had a dog do?
We don't really get naughty.
You don't? Oh, I was so excited for that one.
We got 3 mops. That's about as naughty as it gets.
We got tile floors. And sometimes, you know, if they're upset or something, they may let loose. But we've been really fortunate here.
Yeah. I mean, I think what you're getting at. They have torn up down comforters and gone into bathrooms and pulled out of garbage cans.
We got one that loves toilet paper rolls. If you don't leave the bathroom closed, it's sitting out in the yard all over the place. You know, that's our younger one, Mina.
But our huskies at this point are pretty much old.
Yeah.
So we're spending most of our time helping them get up, pick up after them, and we spoon feed some of them.
And there's one I have to pick up on his rear end. I have to lift him up for him to go potty. So I'm with him every day.
Yeah, we have a blind girl. We have a dog that has cancer.
Brandy, I got this big picture up here eating peanut butter. You go back on my post, you'll see Brandy, and she was one of my favorites. She'd come in the bathroom. She'd lay there when I took a shower, went to the bathroom. She had to be with me wherever I went. And she was a rescue out of Long Beach. And her owner had passed away of cancer and wanted her to go to our rescue. So we personally brought her in to our rescue here. And it was just amazing how attached she was. And Tundra's the same way. Tundra was another one out of Long Beach that was court ordered. She was an abused dog real bad. The guy was in jail for a couple of years beating her. And she's got strap marks on her stomach. You could see where she was whipped. It's really sad. We came down by her stomach and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And I didn't know what the guy did to her, but he must have whipped her with a whip. But yeah, she was really attached and she sleeps with me at night. She stays right next to me. She's the other one. They were never jealous of each other. It was just amazing. They both respected each other. And Tundra, she's right by my side too. And she's getting up there. I just lost Brandy due to her spleen. Right. Her spleen had a big growth in it, and we had to take it out. That's Shelly, our blind girl you hear right now.
She's ready for some treats.
I know.
So we do have just one last question, and then now you can give everyone their treats that they've been waiting for. I'm wondering, we always ask, is there some sort of saying or quote or little blurb that you kind of say to yourself over and over when you're taking in these dogs? I mean, you've mounted so many obstacles, it sounds like, already from neighbors and different things that you encounter in this line of work. I'm wondering if there's something that you tell yourself over and over to kind of keep you going.
Just the passion we have for huskies, I think. We just love these guys to death. And I know the passion drives us, but it is a calling too. God's called us to do this. It is something that even when I was a kid, I was second grade, I was bringing dogs home with me. You know, my dad would say, oh, you're going to keep this dog, you know. I got a whole thing on our website about troubles that we took in. But it's a calling that Liz and I have. I believe it strongly, you know, that this is what we're supposed to be doing. I didn't know what I was supposed to do later in life, but it just all kind of made sense after, you know, we met each other. And being with all these huskies, it was just something we had to do.
And from my perspective, I think we open our hearts to the huskies, and that's the first step in gaining their acceptance and their love, because huskies definitely will test their humans. Mm-hmm. And to pass the test, the human has to open his or her heart first and show true and genuine love and affection and acceptance. And the husky will just, you know, jump right in and fit in.
Yeah, they know they're loved, that they bond with you. You know, it's amazing breed, very, very intelligent breed, very smart. You know, some try to outsmart us. We're always a step ahead of them. We kind of know what they're going to do, you know, before they do it.
I mean, you two are such an inspiration. Thank you so much for the work that you do. It really is amazing. And thank you for taking a little time to chat with us. I know you've got probably 8 dogs looking at you right now, ready for the next adventure of the day. But thank you so much for chatting with us.
Sure.
It was a privilege. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Having us.
Getting the word out there. It's important work. We're at shadowhuskyrescue.com. So if you go on our website, you can actually get onto our Facebook too from there.
So. And we are huge supporters of Cuddly and the work that you do.
Yeah, you guys are great.
Oh, thank you. It was really so incredible to talk to these two. I love that they have so much passion, not even just for each other, but for this shared love of animals and specifically huskies. It's so amazing to see that in a pair. I feel inspired to go out and find that for myself. If you want to learn a little bit more about Shadow Husky Rescue, you can check our show notes or our blog.
And as always, remember to rate, like, and subscribe to this podcast. And be sure to follow Cuddly on all social media accounts at We Love Cuddly. That's C-U-D-D-L-Y. Thanks, guys.